Welcome back to Drum Key. This is a pop-in. This is our second pop-in episode, which means nothing is off limits. Sean and I are wearing the same shirt. We're not going to talk about Adam Fromino's shirt, a.k.a. sweater. He's back.
Who dresses you, the state?
I dress me.
Oh, okay.
And this is his first experience. Well, actually, no, he's had many experiences with this, but this is his first experience on the podcast where both Sean and I can talk over him while he answers questions. So. Yeah. We're really excited to have him here. Adam, what is new?
With what?
I don't know. That's my only question. Then I let it go off the rails.
Like with Meinl, there's so much new stuff.
Oh, here we go. He's going to plug up new stuff.
That's what you wanted, right?
We can do whatever you want. We can ignore this. We can talk Ninja Turtles or we can talk...
I like Toitles.
You do.
I was going to say, if we really wanted to talk what was new with Meinl, we should have just had that whole hour and a half conversation y'all had recorded.
Oh, right? Yes.
That's true.
The beginning of the year.
You could have recorded that whole thing with terms and buy-ins and all that kinds of stuff.
For 2024, we'd have to just redact a whole bunch of things. Was there any, be a bleep
Adam,
button.
Other Adam. I don't want to get... I know this is very confusing.
I'm other?
Confusing.
I would prefer Adam. To be Adam.
It doesn't
he would
matter.
Be, I'm the regular
he's,
on this
he's
show.
He's other
I'm
Adam
the OG.
When I'm regular. Regular Adam.
1.0.
What stood out today? Anything that stood out as far as anything new from Meinl that this Adam, your other Adam, this is this Adam, shared with you that you want to share right now?
Yes.
What?
There's a lot of things.
Just one in particular. We can't go through everything. We don't have all flipping night.
This is a pop-in. There are no rules. As the rules are as I have stated them. There are no rules.
The rules
no, which
exist
would be a rule.
No,
every,
for a reason.
Every year there's tons of new stuff. And in my mind, as we're going over all of it, I classify things into one of three categories.
Oh, my God. Hold on. Before you go any further, I need to say this because I'm going to forget it. But you said something. It reminded me of something I want to share with you later. And it's not perverted. Okay. It's not perverted. Okay. It's a video. Do you know who the comedian Tim Dillon is?
I probably
do. He's hilarious. But he does. And I don't know if I share this with you already, but there's this rant where he just goes off on corporate steakhouses.
Oh yeah, you said that.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right. I think about you when I hear it, and like I
do enjoy a good steakhouse.
Yeah, it's so great. I'm sorry, as you were. I just wanted to make sure I got that out of the way.
No, I'm glad. No, I kind of classify things in my brain. I realize I sort things, and being a child born in the '90s,
that hurts.
We're I feel that here. If I had to represent, if
hand.
I had to represent my brain while I'm listening and organizing thing, I would probably grab things and stick them in folders, like you would on a computer.
Isn't that like deep part
like Windows?
Analyzing?
Yeah,
decompartmentalizing.
Like XP.
How do you say that word?
Compartmentalizing. Yeah, decompartmentalizing. Does that mean I open all the folders?
I don't know.
Empty, recycled
in.
That's
how you clean your room as a kid. You just dump everything into a pile in the middle, and then you clean your way out.
That's it.
Somehow the desk is still full, but you threw out 9 bags of trash.
Exactly.
Right.
No, I kind of classify things as like, gotta have it for the shop, really want it being Adam, being a drummer, and then other stuff like... That's wild, and I never thought about that. So I'm scared to get it in because it's a risk. But I also know that whoever gets that in, and if it's a killer item, they're going to, like, destroy. They're just going to sell tons of them. And then Adam's going to come back to me next year and be like, well, you know those E-flat tuning forks that you passed up on in the Sonic Energy series? That's our number one selling item. And I'm like, ugh, I should have known it was the E-flat, you know?
Well, you live, you learn.
I know, but then next year there's all these shiny new things. That's the problem, is you should wait. Don't put out new stuff every year. Put out new stuff, wait a year, tell me what's working, then I overinvest in that. You guys can double down, then the market will be flooded, supply and demand will be all screwed up, and then you come up with new shiny stuff the next year.
You've got
this. That's
all
what
figured
we do.
Out.
You're just a year behind.
Ah, that's it. It's Speaking like I was of, born on a leap year.
Are you,
it is a leap year.
It is?
It is.
2024?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Wow. Were you born on a leap year? No. 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 Okay.
No.
So you're just joshing us.
I was joshing.
Are
yes,
you,
Adam.
Are you going to NAMM? Is anyone, is Meinl?
Meinl will not be at NAMM.
Okay.
No.
Meinl will not be at Winter NAMM. Okay.
No.
Neither will Adam from Meinl.
Neither will Adam from
Apparently
Meinl.
Not.
I will be, well, it's this week. If that was going to NAMM, I wouldn't be here
You would
now.
Not be here. No, you would be here. You make time for us. Every year, all the time.
When vinyl was at NAMM, I'd be out there Saturday before.
Oh yeah, you are king merchandiser.
You are the merchant.
It takes forever.
Do you sit down in a meeting and plan out what the booth's going to look like and everything and sketch it out? What does that look like?
Didn't really be a meeting. I just know how much space was left, and I just remember where everything worked, and then I would I'd rough out, like, all right, this wall's going to be tambourines, this one will have this, and each wall will have, like, a new product featured on it, and then I would get it all picked and mock it up.
What does mock it up
mean? I'd have a
whatever, diorama?
I'd build a slat wall
okay.
in our warehouse and put everything on it.
Yep.
The way it needs to be set up.
Mm-hmm.
Snap a picture of it, and then pack it all up in a box and label that box for that wall, and that way when the 20 other people helping build the booth, like, all right, you get this wall, and you get this wall,
make
and
it
you
look
get
like
this wall. Here's the pictures taped to the thing, and everything you need is in the boxes labeled for your stuff, and then I would go and yell at them when they would be reaching at someone else's box.
Mm-hmm.
That's not
like,
your job.
I'm missing a thing. Like, it's right there. Did you open the box?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. No, that's just interesting to
keep
see.
It efficient.
Yeah. Because we just did the PA drum show this last year. I obviously wasn't doing displays for every little person, but we had a consignment booth and we had a t-shirt booth and we were running the front, which was admission, but also a raffle too. And just accounting for having enough tables for the whole event for everyone that requested them and chairs and different things was like a big job in itself. There's so much organization that happened ahead of time just so that day everyone looks at you and it's like, like, I mean, I know Sean remarked on it. Sean didn't say a word to me. It's the longest I've been with Sean without him opening his mouth.
Because...
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I knew what I needed to do. And that was just listen to what he was saying. And I'm like, okay, we're going to, you know, tape off these booths and that's it. And I'm going to really focus my energy on consignment and not have to really worry about anything else. But I got there and immediately everyone is coming to Adam. And I wanted to do this, ask Adam a question. I was going to say, hey, Adam. But someone would beat me to it. I was like, I'll wait. And then someone was, hey, Adam, how about this? Hey, Adam. After the third or fourth one, I was like, I'm not going to say a word to him. I'm just going to do my own thing and not bother him. And later on, I told him, I was like, everyone was coming up to you. And you're like, okay, do this. This is what we need to do over here. Okay, that we're going to wait on because we have to wait until this. Okay, we're not letting anybody in yet because of this. What if somebody asks? What if someone asks nicely or politely? Yes. What if someone begs? You say no. We can't let them in. You can't let them in.
I know. And then somehow a door ended up unlocked. Somehow like three or four vendors snuck in when I was informed that all doors were locked. And I figured out what started to happen. This happened with people coming to the show too. Entry, you know, people that were there for just to get in to see the stuff, not vendors. It happened to vendors and those people. I'm going to keep repeating myself. They got in by saying, I need to use the bathroom. And that was the breach in the wall. And the front guys were like, well, he's got to pee.
He's an old man.
Look at him. He's an old man. And I found a group of three old men that came in. They all used that excuse and snuck upstairs and were sitting over up on the balcony looking down waiting for the show to start like a half hour before the show started. And I was like, how did you sneak in? You know, I was joking around with them. I was like, what do you do? And I figured
it out. That's a good way to get in places. Also, you can get it anywhere if you carry a ladder.
Yes.
Ooh.
No one asks questions. You carry a ladder.
And a vest.
They will hold the door open.
A vest and a ladder.
Yeah.
And you can get in. You could have got in. I wish you were there for the PA drum show next year.
We'll see what happens. I'm gonna do work as much magic as possible to try.
We brought the entire Meinl cymbal tour to the PA drum show. It was freaking awesome that we had all those cymbals too. I mean, it was badass having all those cymbals. It was so awesome.
Where are you going?
See ya.
I got something.
Well, Adam's gone, so it's the Sean show now.
It's the Sean show. This is what I've been waiting for. Now, I'm kicking up over there.
you guys can't fill 2 minutes.
I know we can't. We're done.
Well, I keep catching
2 minutes from
catching my face in the.
Well, I was gonna say
yourself in the mirror, your own reflection.
It's off, and it's the other direction.
Who's
it's
that really handsome weird. Devil? Yeah, I'm over here instead of over there.
It's disconcerting, is what it is.
Something you get used to. Something you get used to after a while.
I mean, it's hard to look in a mirror when you dress like this.
Well, It's painful.
It's painful on the eyes, and I know. I don't painful. Have to see it, so
do
it's
you
fine.
Get, like, funny looks when you're going through the airport?
Probably, but I'm like, walking too fast to notice anything.
People ask, like, who you are ever?
They know me.
Okay. I would figure.
I'm Adam from Minot.
Yeah, I would figure. As many times as you fly in and out of... where did you fly in today?
Today was Philly.
Philly. As many times as you've flown in and out of Philadelphia, they probably know you by now. Oh, just wave him on through. You know, you probably don't even need to go through, like,
actually, I got stopped,
security or nothing.
Like, the guy was so slow this morning at security, and he was like, they pulled my bag over to something had to be...
Yeah.
It stopped you?
They saw you, and they're just like, there's something
going
on here.
It was like four bags back. It was over half an hour before they finally got all my stuff, because the guy was just barely moving. And I'm like, what am I going to do, complain? He's just going to put me on a no-fly list.
Right,
or
yeah. Right. I tell you what, if I were in charge of security at the airport,
you're a TSA agent.
I'd flag him. Like, all right, funny guy, get over here with your bow tie. I'm like, get over here. You think you're funny, do you? You think you're going to get away with this?
You think this is some kind of game?
Yeah.
Oh, all it was the five sets of catalogs I have in the thing. They couldn't the X-ray machine couldn't get through it.
Oh,
it's
no.
A brick of paper.
So they just see this brick that they can't see through.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to open up and test everything, and I'm like, fine, whatever. But
and then they're asking you questions like, so I saw this guy playing this drum that was like looked like a spaceship. Look like a spaceship. I want one of those. What are they called? It plays like melodies and everything else. Like, the guy was playing this thing out in the woods somewhere. It looks like a spaceship.
Oh, and this one comes with the mallet? Yeah. Does this come with the mallet? Oh, it does. Does it have a bag? No, it comes with a bag. You have to buy the bag separately? Oh.
And a mallet bag, too, for the one mallet.
Yes.
It needs a little sleeve.
A little mallet bag.
Yeah, how about tambourine bags?
We have them.
I figured.
I have a bunch myself.
I figured you would.
I do not have enough to cover all my tambourines, though.
You have a lot of tambourines. You have an awesome collection. I saw a picture you put up. I was like, And you said that's not all of them.
It's not all of them. I think it's
110
right now, something like that.
What's your jingle count?
Oh, jeez. You probably average... If you average, probably... Let's say...
Math. Carry the one.
Probably average 30 jingles a tambourine, average. Maybe a little less, 25 jingles. That'd be a weird number. Like, it's just a single one.
Looking
a lot.
Over 3,000 jingles. Yeah.
What's your prized possession? Like
your tambourine.
Favorite, like that. This is the holy grail of tambourines. Do you have one or two?
I've got some 60s Ludwig ones with the original box. Those are nice.
Are they actually nice to play and stuff?
Yeah.
Or are they just like collectible?
Both. I mean, the 60 Ludwigs were our collector's items.
You get but they play well. They sound good.
Oh yeah,
nice.
Something about that chrome over brass. It was like the same with the what's the big snare? The Ludwig snare.
Superphonics.
Superphonics. Yeah, the old chrome over brass stuff. The old ones.
Oh shit.
Are the classic, like those are the ones that are super soft. Something about that chrome over brass, like that batch.
That makes me feel good, knowing that. I never knew anything like that, but that makes me feel good.
You're going to bust that out in a conversation. Someone's going to be like,
I feel good knowing that.
Chrome over brass.
I know.
Yeah, Ludwig tambourines.
And they're going to be like, what?
Yeah,
you got this from Minel. You got this from Adam from Minel, didn't you? I'm going to suck
the tambourine man.
You're going to be like, you know, it'd be worth more if you had the box, but I'll give you $5 trade-in. You're going to see that in the bottom of some traps case of like a bunch of stuff that we buy someday. It's gonna be like a box, and you're gonna open it. It's gonna be a chrome over brass Ludwig tambourine. And instead of just throwing it in the studio or something, or putting it out for $20, you're gonna be like, this thing.
I'll take it for $20.
That's what I'm saying. We're gonna sell it to you.
For $20.
$20? All right. We'll see.
Then I'm gonna flip it for like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we wanted that's an interesting thing. Like selling stuff but caring about who buys it is such a bizarre concept to me. Because it's like you put it out there, you put the price on it, and you get what you get, or you don't get to be choosy. But there was a guy at the drum show that wanted to sell his stuff, and he came in here. We went back and forth, you know, him hawing around about, you know, should I sell it? I don't know, and I love it. Blah, blah, blah. And the conversation ended, or was close to ending, by me saying, doesn't sound like you want to sell your drums.
Right.
And he said, well, yeah, I just don't know what to do. I said, don't sell them.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening is he ended up selling them, but brought them to the show. Yeah. And he consigned them and stood next to his drums and waited to talk to each person. He wouldn't sell them unless he knew that they were going to a good home.
Right. I was like, that was been a little there. Bit of a conflict of interest, though. Like when you're bringing the stuff in on consignment, and then you have the owner standing there next to the set, like this isn't going to just any
right.
Joe Schmo walking
right.
up.
But it actually worked out really
it
well,
did.
And it
did
made
work out
it,
well.
It kind of made sense
what
in
kind
a way.
Of
it was like
were they?
less work.
Ludwig.
There was some Ludwig.
Like 60s. I think they were a club date or club. You know,
yeah, they were nice drums. It was nice drums, but it's just interesting to me that the thought that, you know.
There's babies. You got to make sure they get to a good place.
I want to make sure they get. Yeah, exactly. I want to make sure they find a good home. But at the same time, I'm like, but what? Your overall goal is to make money, right? That's your goal. And he's, you know, and it's not the primary driver for someone selling something all the time.
But how do you say, you can't say no. If someone comes up and they're like, I want to buy these drums, and he just has a brief conversation with them. And he's a punk rock drummer, and he's like, no, I'm not selling them to him because he's a punk rock drummer or something like that.
Right.
You can't say no. You're like, right. Nope, can't do it. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I guess you could. But
can you imagine if we did that at the
I
shop?
Know. No. Mm-mm.
Someone brings them up to the counter. Yeah, just like these sticks. You know, like, these are jazz sticks. You know, like being a gatekeeper of right. some kind is like absurd. We're just like, sure.
There's those people out there.
I've actually had a conversation kind of like that where someone comes to me and they're like, let's say a drum throne, for instance. And I jokingly said, they're like, well, I'm looking for a new drum throne. And they're kind of looking for the cheaper ones. I go, no, mm-hmm. you need a rockin' sock. And I will say, I'm not going to sell you one of those other cheap ones. Like, I don't care if you come up to the counter, you want to buy that. I'm not selling it to you. You know, especially if he's like a bigger fella. I'm like, dude, I will walk out. I'm not going to sell that to you, man. You need
it's
a proper
risk.
Drum throne. Yeah, that pole is going to go, you know where.
Well, I mean, you should. That's something to always invest in. A good throne. You spend
yes.
a lot of time sitting down. You should be comfortable.
That's what I say.
I have bad back, bad knees, bad shoulders, and part of it's because I started on a cheap throne
and a bad attitude.
That's not from the throne, though.
Oh, okay,
that's got my mother written all over it.
That came before. Yeah, that came before the drums.
That was inherited.
Yeah, that's good. That's awesome. It's just interesting. Interesting. People bring up something like that to you, and you have your knee-gut reaction, and then you wait. Your knee-jerk. Knee-gut reaction.
You want me to knee you in the gut?
You're following
very
your
violent.
Gut, but it's a knee-jerk reaction.
You're
to say
a jerk.
Are you
calling him a jerk? Dude.
I'm about to walk off the set again. What I was looking for is I had a construction helmet. When you were talking about the ladder getting you into places.
Right.
I have a construction helmet somewhere.
That would work, too.
That like
but
that,
the ladders.
Like, you look like a
the
like,
ladders.
No. But sure that and like a
clipboard,
a tube, like you've got like blueprints in it, like you're the architect.
A clipboard would be good too. And like,
tuck your tuck a button up shirt in jeans.
Sure, you got to have
boots,
a big old
measure.
Nokia,
yes,
walkie talkie thing
of some sort. Doesn't have to function,
and it doesn't hurt if you have money for admission.
That usually helps get people in a lot of
that's
places.
That's the easiest way to get in the door is to pay the ticket price and enter legally. Yeah.
Okay. Support the businesses. Everything costs money to do.
Absolutely.
If you get it for free, that means someone else is paying for it.
Nothing's free, man. Nothing is free. Someone else is paying
except
for
my
it.
Love.
Your love is unconditional.
Yeah.
It's free, but not everyone wants it.
That's,
you, see, you can't
see,
give away just about it. Just about it. I remember Rick at the old shop had this great idea. He's like, today I'm going to make special memories with people at the shop. It was such a great idea. He's like, I'm going to give away a pair of sticks to every drummer that walks in the door. The next person who walks in the door, I'm going to give them these sticks. These really nice sticks, you know? And this kid walks in for lessons, you know, as like teenager. And he's like, this is going to be great. This is going to make his day, right? And so he reaches out and he hands him the pair of sticks. He says, guess what? I'm giving these to you today. These are your new sticks. And he takes them from him and looks at him and says, I don't play these. No, thank you. Hands them back and walks next to him. And I remember Rick turning to us and looking so defeated, like, I can't even give this stuff
right.
away. Like, what in the world?
People get, drummers especially, this is what I, well, musicians, like, I they use the they know what they use. They're not going to try anything else.
Sure,
but even if it's free,
it's the old saying.
Unless it's a shirt, they'll take a free shirt.
Everyone wants a free T-shirt. Why don't they want free drumsticks? But I'll take free drumsticks all day long.
It's the old saying: don't look a gift horse in the mouth. And I don't think he knows that. Maybe that kid just didn't know that expression. It's just like when someone's going to give you something, you just say thank you and take it. Which is also another one of those Rick-isms where we had these shop talk sessions last year, and Rick had a presentation. And we chopped these clip, presentations up into different reels and clips and put them out there. And one was Rick saying, always say thank you. You know, when you get paid at the end of the gig, say thank you. You know, always say thank you.
Show up to the gig.
And there were people, there were trolls on the internet going, look at this fat old white guy. He's like, literally, I'm not kidding. They're like, he's had everything handed to him his whole life. He didn't have to pay for a single thing. Like, we're like, where is this coming from? Say thank you. He's like, no, you shouldn't have to say thank you. You should get paid for the gig, and that's it. Like,
yeah, these you guys put in the work. Yeah,
I'm like, dude, that's you're missing the point.
It was a 20-second clip of him saying, it's nice to say thank you to people.
Right.
And still,
there's haters out there.
You can't win on the internet.
You can't win.
Nope.
You can't argue with stupidity.
We've got a lot of good ones right now. Mad at me. I'm doing a masterclass series here, and it's $10 a ticket to get in, right?
We are
the devil now.
We're a construction hat.
Double it.
Ladder.
Yes. We are the devil now because we are offering education in a slightly different format than private lessons, and we're charging money for it. And the money goes to, like, I hired a whole bunch of different artists, local educators to come in, and the money goes to the shop, and it gets split with the artists, you know, to pay for their time, to compensate them a little bit. It'll get them a sandwich or get them gas money. It's $10. It's $10, you know?
And people are
commenting. It's a small, intimate, like, class where there could be, like, 5 to 7 people there maybe, you know, learning specifically, get to ask questions, get hands-on experience with these things. And there's so many comments, and I did some promo videos. This gets to my point. I did a promo video where I'm reaching around the snare drum just because the wing nuts aren't all on the same side. And I'm like, it's little things like this that if you just set up the exact same way every time, you never have to worry about, you know, like you're reaching around it. Like there's just annoying little things and that stuff adds up. So just learn ergonomics. And I said, this is one of many things that I'm going to be talking about during my masterclass. And it's $10 and it's this day, just pages. Pages of like, well, I could get that for free. And, oh, I really wish you showed me. You didn't even show me how to set up your stand here. So you're telling me I got to pay to come to this class to learn? I'm like.
And other guys are like, I'll do it for free. I'll save you some time. You can find out this information on YouTube. I'm like, what the heck?
I'm like, this class isn't for you.
Yeah, I know.
That means this class isn't for you.
Yeah.
That's it.
You're way too good for us, apparently.
That's it. You know how to set up a snare stand. So it's not for you. But I'm offering a 2-hour class where that's one blip second in my ridiculous presentation where I literally assemble an entire drum set.
I think I could set up a stair stand in less than 2 hours.
Yeah. Well, I properly?
Properly.
Right.
Yeah, that's the key.
But no,
yeah,
I think I could do it. 159, I could,
159?
Just
squeeze it in there.
Just under.
But yeah, it's you know, it's a lot of fun. And it's been a growing process for us because we were never public about anything.
Yeah,
we'd post a picture of some guy loading a drum set in his trunk years ago, and we wouldn't even want to be in the picture. And now every morning it's, hey guys, it's me. I'm Adam the Clown, and here's Bozo Shawnee Boy.
Hey, guess what? I'm going to talk about something else today. Someone's going
to
be mad
and you
and
do that
about.
Enough. You do that enough, you start to gain traction as if you're offering value, and then that means more people see it. And when more people see it, that same percentage of haters comes out of the woodwork.
You get more negativity.
You just got to deal with it, and it's we're
your
growing.
Girl T-Swizz said it though. Haters gonna hate.
It's true.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
What game?
Or is it the vice versa? Don't hate the game,
the
hate
gig?
The player. I don't know. It's
don't
one of
the
two.
Don't hate the game, hate the player. No one's ever said
that. Yeah, I don't know. I'm dyslexic. Leave me alone.
Don't hate what Adam's talking about right now. Hate him specifically.
That's right. Wait,
well, that
which
seems
Adam?
To be the mentality of online trolls.
I just say, if I do respond to that, I say, I hope your day turns around.
Yeah, really.
Because anyone that can that takes time out of their day to really type that up and do that is not doing so hot on themselves. So
right.
Show a little compassion, and you know, you don't have to respond to all of them.
No.
Speaking of hate, the new Meinl. No, I'm just kidding.
So what happened to all the cymbals that went back to Nashville from our Meinl cymbal tour? What happens to the cymbals?
Do they get put back into the our cymbal tour stock to go out with the next one.
What happened to that big 28-inch prototype ride that we got, I think, 3 years in a row and we didn't get this year? Who do you remember who bought that?
Ah, no, those things – we sell a bunch of those.
Okay.
They're not for everyone. That's a tough –
They're not, but they're fun to play. And when we got – I couldn't – I wanted to play it again. When we got those in, I'm like searching around for it. I'm like, I can't wait to play that 28-inch prototype ride. I was like, where is it? It's not here. I was like, oh, not here.
Someone bought it.
There were some really cool cymbals in there.
Yeah,
though.
We get some cool. We're still working on some other stuff, but it's, you know, we making an obscure prototype or just one off like that. It just slows down production and everything else.
I gotcha.
Priorities really, you know, if we can't keep up with the demand like of our regular stuff.
Yep.
Making all the crazy, cool, unique stuff is like it's just going to put us further back on the regular stuff.
Are you guys pretty caught up now?
Some things yes, some things no.
I mean, shipping?
Like from the
out of Nashville?
Yeah, that's pretty caught up. I mean, we were closed for inventory a couple weeks ago, and
dude, everyone was backed up though. I mean, I know that guys, everyone's been backed up. Especially inventory just throws a
beginning of the year
a wrench into everything.
Yeah,
but yeah, if you order something late December, but before you get your tax refund. Chances are it will be delayed at some point.
Taxes. I got to remember to do those soon.
Time's
coming up.
Yeah, you're supposed to do them every year. I don't know.
I do.
Okay.
This is going out.
This is going out, yes.
Like, you know, so
you can check. It's the IRS every year, will
be
watching.
Yeah.
They'll be paying attention.
Yeah, but there's always that. It's expected and understood. And everyone that's worked everywhere relating to product of some kind knows that that's a thing. Whether it was, a warehouse is delayed and their customer service rep or they work in the warehouse or this or that. It's got to happen.
We were delayed too, briefly. You know, we had inventory going on all week long, and that puts us back a little bit. I mean, we're doing the listings and you're backed up and I'm taking care of all the, front of the house stuff and everything. And even shipping had to do that while the other guys were doing the inventory. So just tag teaming it all and getting it all done. But we were backed up too because of it.
What can you do?
Gotta do it.
Gotta keep inventory in.
Gotta do it. Should have had you up.
Can you imagine? I mean,
can you imagine him doing inventory? It'd be great.
I do inventory.
I know. Well, here with us.
Oh.
We'd have a party. Piece we'd have cake. A blast.
Piece of cake. The it's
a
shocking.
Cake inventory?
Yeah. A piece of cake. We only had one piece
that's
of cake.
It's easy to count.
It's easy to count.
We like to have our cake and eat it too.
I can't imagine being a warehouse as large as, Meinl USA or, I mean, that's small in comparison to some of these warehouses that are the size of city blocks. But even here, the amount of stuff that, like the systems that we have in place, no matter what, it still gets off.
Mm-hmm.
Like a year goes by and it's like, how does it say I have 8 clear Emperor 16-inch drum heads and I have one? How are we got it wrong 7 times? How did that happen? You know, or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's remarkable.
Yeah. Sometimes we'll be off on something and it's like, how are we off by this much? Like, and it's stuff like, it says we have 5 in stock and then we go and there's nothing there. It's like, those come in master packs of 6. So I bet I know what happened.
Mm. There you go.
Which means some store or some store received 6. Didn't say anything.
Ooh,
yikes.
It's like,
we would never do that.
Why do you think?
We
could keep, if all those, if
by
everyone
the way,
was.
Meinl cymbal set.
Yeah. I wish Meinl Classics Darks ride cymbals came in packs of 6. That'd be great.
6 packs.
No,
I think it's usually around 6 or 10 in a box from the factory. But cymbals, that's easy. But it's like a Ching ring or something, and it's like,
in a box,
a box of 6, and you open it up, and then like, but who like, it's also like someone picked that, and then someone checked it and said, yes, 1 is there,
right?
And then someone packed it up and ready to ship it, and yes,
and they
one
got,
is
and
there.
They saw the weight, and of maybe 6 symbols instead of 1,
and maybe they're new guys or something like that. They don't have the
give
experience.
Excuses. These people are hypothetical.
We have had some people that weren't drummers who opened up claves and maracas and grabbed one out.
Oh boy!
Wow.
Of like when in the package like the with the header card and everything ready to be go on display at a store, and they open it up and pull one out.
It's just like, oh, geez.
Yeah, that reminds me that customers will come in, especially when they're new to drumming, and they need a new drum head of one of their toms, and they have both toms on the tom mount out of the bass drum because they took it apart that way. Just interesting where people, so we'll have like that person that brings that whole thing in, the whole, and we're like, oh, this comes off and there's a memory lock, and you know, we educate him at that point. And then there's the other person that says, yeah, I just needed this new thing, and they've got like tension rods and inserts separated out in baggies that they're bringing a set on consignment. I'm like, we have to assemble this set now. So the some people go too far and some people don't go far enough. And that's why
just don't get jaded on it. Just remember
Everyone's there. Oh, yeah.
We're all on the same journey. We're just the different parts on it.
Of course. Yeah, and the, you know, same thing, you know, I can't tell you how many times the snare drum and it's the stand's clamped on there and they bring the whole stand in, and it's like I've been there. You know? I've been there. So it's fun to see sometimes how people disassemble stuff.
I remember taking my drum set into school and like high school, and I kept the toms on top of the bass drum and I put it in the back of this pickup truck, and I didn't live too far from school, so I stayed in the back cab holding my drum set up that way. I'm like, how crazy am I?
Yeah, you could have just taken them off. But if you don't know, you don't know.
I didn't know.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then which you got to be careful who you're sharing drums with, but I'm just thinking about going to a gig or something. And I remember when I first started doing that, I didn't know all the adjustments and how to change stuff, which of course you got to make sure if you're sharing someone's kit that it's cool that you do that. But I didn't know how to do that. So I played so uncomfortably for so long because I didn't I didn't tilt the cymbal towards me a little bit or vice versa, because everyone sets up completely differently.
And you're going to go over that in your masterclass.
This is
going to come out after the masterclass.
Yeah. I'm not editing this in the next few days. I might, actually. I might. If we do, it's Sunday, January 28th. It's Sunday the 28th.
At 2 p.m.?
1 p.m.
Right. 1 p.m.
Now you're confused. Look very on drumsetc.com for all upcoming events.
Very confused.
That's it. Thank you. We're going to put a glint.
Ding.
Yeah. Like, the now you know. Do, 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 do.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. The we had some bells come in on consignment recently, and I was playing them, and I was like, what is this thing? And one of the teachers was like, oh, that's the NBC, you know, ding, ding, ding thing. And I was like, yep, that's where I've heard it. And, you know, like before, I was like, this tone, what are these tones? Why do they sound so good together? Like, this is a jingle. What is it, you know? And it was that.
I thought we should come up with, like, a little jingle.
We'll do it right now.
Okay.
We can come up with a whole song.
Go.
Oh, Sean hasn't got anything? I was ready.
Sean's got nothing.
I had a few lines ready. It started with
The problem
hey.
Is we're all drummers, so we're
it
trying
started
to...
With,
we got the, we got the beat.
I was actually going to come in with like something... Like I wasn't going to say or do any... I was just going to come in with another drum beat to compensate.
I was coming up with...
Compliment that.
With lyrics, you know?
Okay.
But it started with hey, and I thought that you don't need the hey, and I was editing the hey out of it.
Horses do.
Hey is for horses.
You don't need the hey.
You don't need the hey. Do you practice tambourine?
Yes.
You do? And are there tons of techniques
yes.
tambourine playing? I mean, I know there, but enough to like really work on and develop stuff over years of playing tambourine?
Yeah.
Like how deep is that?
Because one is endurance. Because, you know, trying to shake the tambourine for, you know, what if it is the full song? I mean, that's a long time. So you got to get the muscles up on that. But then it's getting the different, staying in time, because it's not just this direction, it's that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And then where's the swing value in that?
Right.
And like, how trashy do you want it? Because like, you can keep it, if you keep it flat, it stays pretty dry. And all the way up, it's really long and trashy and wet. So it's just finding the right level between it. And getting the shake, and then shaking it at these different angles can auto put the swing in naturally. You don't have to think about it. Where, because just the jingles don't move at the same rate as the rest of the everything. So it's figuring all that out. But I'd say the biggest thing to work on, that I work on, is just endurance. Put on like the extended version of Flashlight, which is like nine, like, by, is that Parliament or is that officially George Clinton?
I think it's a George Clinton song.
But anyway, like, it's like almost 10 minutes long, and just trying to,
yeah.
I actually go, I treat him usually like a shaker because I don't have to fight gravity as much, and I shake this way. It's harder to get the backbeats and stuff, a little more awkward, but.
Dude, I've run into that recording because I'll overdub tambourine and shaker and stuff, and I kid you not, I've done this, where literally my elbow ends up sitting on my leg because I can't hold my arm up because it's freaking,
which doing that, you lose some feel.
You do, and it's a weird thing. It's a really weird thing, and you you lose some feel, and it's also like you're saying, like pacing out the differences of it, and like there was like a 7 minute song that I did pretty quick, pretty quick tambourine on. I mean,
recording, most people will take the shortcut and get their four bars and.
But I don't know how to do that.
But then also, poor person's got to do it live now. He's got to sit there and shake the thing for.
You got to be ready.
And you know, and the other thing is, you know, this, a lot of stuff I do that for too will be demos and stuff. And there's no click track we're recording to. So like the tempo changes slightly. So you get a little off sometimes, depending on if it speeds up or slows down. And then you try to copy and paste stuff across and it does not work. It's like, how about you just play the thing, dude? So I end up doing different things like that. Luckily now I have an arsenal of like three or four tambourines where I can get different sounds. Aww. I do. Guess what? They're all minor.
Oh,
they're all minor. They are. And I'll get different sounds out of them. And just mixing different jingles and stuff. But I find that I like brass stuff for punches, and I like the steel stuff for the classic, like,
eighth notes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I recommend that to people all the time. Like, you do your eighth notes or your quarter notes, whatever, your 16th notes, your triplets, whatever, with the steel, and then get all your backbeats with a brass one.
You can get
really into it, and you add like all these things, and like, well, subtly have every downbeat on with this tambourine, and then, but you do the heavy backbeat with this one, but then you get all the eighth notes with this one, and you get this weird thing, and you keep it so far down in the mix that you don't even hear it. There's something there. You take it out, no one knows what you took out.
Yeah,
like, something's missing
now.
Yeah, it absolutely grooves,
which is the bulk of so much percussion stuff. Like, it's 60s. Yeah, anyone can do that, and that's actually
a lot of 60s music had every song had freaking tambourines in. But I was going to ask you this. Okay,
you asked me
about
this.
Like, you're talking about working on endurance. Now, have you ever had, or do you do just straight up gigs where you're just playing tambourine?
I would. I play in a choro group, so that's Brazilian. I play the pandero, and that's the only thing. And
okay.
I tell you, my arm, it's actually, we just had rehearsal this past weekend, and everyone else was like learning a new tune. For me, it's just this, it's the same old pattern over and over, but like, I'm working on my endurance, so I just let them work out the whole thing, and I ended up playing for like 20 minutes.
Nice.
Just, and at the end, I'm like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. Now I'm going to have to edit our non-edited podcast. Take that out. But I'm going to leave this part in so people don't know what you say.
It's all good. You don't have to edit it out. It's a free country.
But it's not a free masterclass.
No, it's not.
It's not. It's $10. And we're criminals for trying to charge for education and pay the artists that are dedicating their time to it.
I mean, if you want to get in free for places, I hope that whatever you do for a living, you're willing to do for free as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. But no, I don't want to sound like a complainer. I'm really not. This is just us talking about stuff. But it's going to be a really great thing. We have a masterclass on percussion techniques. We have a guy, Brent Barenhausen, that does a lot of like orchestral stuff. So he's going to talk about just the auxiliary percussion.
Yeah.
And, you know, spacing those notes, shakers, tambourines, triangles, all of that stuff that we all, you know, I should say we all. I'm referring to drum set players. We tend to pick up a little bit of it, playing a bell, playing a tambourine here or there. but we don't get trained on it. We don't take lessons on it. But there's some techniques.
You get those little techniques. It's those little things, and that's what gets things over the edge. It's it's, you know, all the home studios in Nashville and all the studios in Nashville are like, oh, I don't need a percussionist. I got the stuff where I'll just throw it on the track. It's like, yeah, you can do it, but there's that little finesse of everything. And then I always think recordings sound so much better when it's done live, like the groups all in. Maybe they're all in booths, isolation booths, sure. But everyone making that eye contact, you can kind of get a sense like, all right, okay, this is, you're about to do something.
It's not just pasted together, you know? It's like,
and
it's
even if you never play, like, you know, if you don't never do anything except that one pattern, no fills, no nothing, just being in the room, you get that, it just locks in a little better, I think, with the live
There's that human element to it. And
you change that feel just a little bit on the bridge you see it in his face.
How many, behind the music documentaries have you watched? And they're like, yeah, this was take 40. And there's another song where it's like, yeah, we had it on take 2. But like, think about how long they workshop that song from the beginning to the end. And they're like, oh, I found this cool thing on take 4 and this. You know, it can be like pretty brutal when you do that many takes. I think the most I've done on a song was probably like 8 or 9. But even after like 4 or 5 takes, you start to be like, are we really going to get something else? Yep. Sometimes you discover those things and then it's like, it was all worth it.
I just saw something where Billy Corgan was talking about when they recorded Tonight and the take that you hear on the record is take 2. And they did it in the second take, and him and Jimmy Chamberlain looked at each other like, that's the take. And they were like, do you want to, let's do it again? Or like, if you listen to it, he says, it's not perfect. There's stuff in it. But he was like, they just knew that that was the one.
Yep. Yeah. Most great records aren't perfect. They're not. When I listen back to myself recorded, I always have the most ridiculous critiques. And obviously I'm listening for the drums specifically, right, my thing, and I'm going to be my hardest critic. But at the same time, when the rest of the band is like, doesn't have to be perfect. Mm-mm. It like infuriates me for 3 seconds, and then I agree with them.
Right. Because you hear those little imperfections. You hear like, I could do it better. And everyone else is so happy with the take. They're like, this is awesome. This is great. And you're like, nah.
There's another X factor to the way that the groove sits in that take that like that's worth the minor imperfection over here. Yeah.
But it's funny too, because whenever I go back and I listen to like times I've recorded in studio or even a home studio or whatever, I can hear some of those things that like bothered me then. It still bothers me now. They still like do, but I've tried to get over that. Like, oh man. Mm.
It's also hard to really enjoy a song after you've played it to death in the studio and recorded it.
Yeah.
Like you got to like let it exist for a while and then go back and listen to it. Because you just you're sitting there hammering take after take, and then you listen to it like that night. Those are your worst ears to listen to yourself play.
True.
You need some fresh perspective.
Well, if you just quit messing up, then you don't have to worry about it.
We're not all as perfect as you.
Try doing something right the first time.
Or if all you ever do is mess up, then you just like, all right, it's going to be bad.
If you mess up your entire life and you're okay with
fix
it.
Fix that and post.
That's me.
You shift everything over.
Continuously mess up, it's expected.
I don't know how you're off by a 16th note for the whole thing. Like, just move it over one. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's easy. Lock it in and shift.
Nowadays it's easy.
There's a difference between precision and accuracy, right? You know? I always picture a dartboard with that analogy of all the darts hits in the same spot and it's over on the right or the left.
Demotivator posters, despair.com. I think they have one.
That's
it's
that,
like it's only consistency is only a good thing if you're not a screw up, and I think it's like a dartboard, and everything's just off the center.
I love it.
Or it may not be a dart. It might be archery. It might be an archery thing. It's like everything's just like just off. It's like, but everything's in one spot.
But it's still not even close.
It's very consistent.
That's great.
But it's not where you want it to be.
I think of that like all those school posters of like some guy on top of a mountain, and it's like, you know, endurance, like,
and the cat,
the cat. Well, yes.
Hanging down.
We laughed about this yesterday. The Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott quote, and
you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott, in the office. Yeah, he just writes it.
He adds his name to it. That's a classic.
Oh, he's leaving again.
I know.
Don't mind me.
All right, he's gonna write something down. What's he writing?
I never know what he's writing.
I myself to edit
edit your comment out from earlier.
Oh, give me a break.
It's a family show.
It's a family show. He's wearing his family-friendly sweater. And
Family Feud sweater.
It's a family show.
Watch, he's got some cardigan,
he's wearing a bow tie.
Family Feud. Is Family Feud a family show?
Have not anymore.
It is not.
Okay.
That is the raunchiest show on television.
That's
and
what
it's
I'm
amazing.
Saying.
It's worse than and Jersey Shore.
And it's great.
It's amazing. Steve Harvey is his deadpan.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
He's great.
It's a good Instagram page to follow too. They show some.
Ooh, okay. I gotta follow.
As is the TSA. Theirs is hilarious.
Yours is a good Instagram page to follow too.
Adam from Meinl.
Yep.
Adam from Meinl. I send people to you all the time.
Oh, nice. I need to. Hopefully, during the first quarter, I'm going to find a Saturday to go in the office and film all the stack requests that I have, because I think it's about 150 right now.
Jeez.
So once I get them all filmed, I won't do them once a week. I might do it like once a day, or like maybe at least three times a week posting just to get caught up.
You have
like,
to
get a bunch out because I feel bad. It's like I'd say right now it's three like I've only been doing requests for the past like 8 months. And they're about 3 years behind.
And you're backlogged.
It's like, I need to, but I got to find time to.
Right.
It doesn't take long to shoot the video. I mean, 10 seconds. But getting it all set up and then making sure I have everything written down, like whose request was this and which symbols are they? Yeah. And
preaching
and
choir,
checking
dude.
Also, like I have a huge list. Like what stacks have I done already? Sure. Thankfully, no one's asked for one I already did.
Dude, it's literally...
Because I don't want to have to go find it and be like, it's here.
Right. No, it's literally like a couple hours of my day every day. Is not the recording. It's not this part. It's not the editing. No. It's just taking clips I already have on my phone and posting them across platforms.
Yeah. But once I get a little caught up with the stacks, cymbal stacks, I'm going to start doing something with some percussion things. I have a few ideas for stuff that could be cool.
This was a family show.
Saxophone.
Percussion things.
Saxophone. Once it gets caught up with the sax.
Stacks.
Stacks. Mm.
Like the record company?
Mm-hmm.
What record company?
For those of you who don't know.
Stacks Records.
Stacks Records.
Yes.
As opposed to Motown, which is better.
Yes.
Ooh.
And those might be fighting words for people.
Those are fighting words. I'll clip it up. This is great.
But
it's exactly what we need.
It's a fun game.
I just need the hate to kind of, you know, just
haters gonna hate.
Well, speaking of fun games, have you ever
Parcheesi? Yes, I've played Parcheesi.
Okay.
It's weird.
No, you came up with that great game really that you would choose game. Between like
oh
two
yeah
different
that's
bands.
That's the game yeah
is that still going on
I'm still
explain,
working on all
explain.
That
still working on that this
is what
a
is
great concept I love this.
Well, I'm actually talking about trying to do a podcast with some friends in Nashville to do this, but it's just two bands or artists that are comparable in some way, and then like, well, that's what Motown or Stax is a great. It's a great way to start.
There you go.
You're not wrong if you pick it. Well, actually, right. In my opinion, there's a right and wrong answer on that, but just picking. It's a great like bonfire, like front porch game, like picnics and stuff, and just a bunch of friends, and you name it, and everyone has to pick one. There's no like, oh, I can't pick. It's no, like, neither one or both. Like, no, you got to pick one. It's just for fun.
Give another example.
Biggie or Tupac.
Nice.
Christina or Britney. Beatles or Stones.
Yep.
You know, class. Madonna or Lady Gaga.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's just so many. Nice. You could go.
I know.
And it's just about finding the... And it's just for fun. Although, I think one of the times I did play this, I think a couple broke up shortly after.
Oh, boy.
They picked a different band.
This was telling. You should just be there on the first date. You could save them a lot of time.
Yeah.
Like, if you pass this test... Oh, that needs to be published in some, like some magazine.
It's a compatibility thing.
Compatibility test. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Adam also has a... he won't talk to you about Seinfeld either unless you can pass three questions.
Five.
Five. He has five questions. So go ahead.
And we're not doing those today.
Oh, why not?
Because people can look it all up, all the answers,
oh,
and get
okay.
them right in the future.
Gotcha. All right. He's right.
I'm sweating over here.
Okay.
I'm terrified.
And
I need to do it. I feel like I don't know.
Okay,
are you good with Seinfeld trivia?
I'm currently through my second watch through.
Oh.
I know.
Only two.
That's what I'm saying.
I remember 1999.
I'm on season 9. Listen, I'm on season 9 on my second time the entire way through, and the last time, the first time that I watched it all the way through was last year. I'm new, but it's relatively fresh.
Well,
so I don't know where that would rank me.
So many people would want to take me on with Seinfeld trivia stuff, and I just kind of got bored of just knowing. Like, I definitely had other issues going on to know that much stuff about Seinfeld. But
sure.
I'm just like, all right, if you want to take me on a trivia, I have here's my standard 5 questions. You have to get them all right.
And if you can't answer that, you can't ask me questions.
You can't ask me questions. There's no, because I want to make sure you're on my level. And even one of my best friends, who we pretty much, our biggest connection has always been Seinfeld. And he only got 2 of them. So.
Oh, wow. I'm going to fail this.
Yeah.
Are we doing it? I feel like we need to do it.
Well, not on air.
Not on air.
Because I don't want to. I don't want it out. My questions out there, and then people learn them. It's got to be on the fly.
This is a tease. Yeah. Are they good, Sean? Did you pass the test?
No,
he didn't pass. No. He didn't get any of them.
Oh crap! I got no chance.
I didn't get any of them.
He didn't get any.
I don't think I did.
All right,
but Adam and I broke bread at Tom's restaurant, though.
Mm-hmm. We did that.
You visited the site.
Him and I together. We had a date.
And is that a movie thing where you walk in, it looks nothing like the outside?
It looks nothing like the
outside. Yeah,
it looks like all Seinfeld stuff.
Yeah, there's all posters Seinfeld on the wall. Autographs and pictures. Oh. They've all been there.
Listen,
if
there's a Seinfeld episode, drums, et cetera, we'd be cashing in on that.
My first trip ever to New York, I went to the corner of First and First and was all ready to call my friend Collect from a payphone.
Uh-huh.
And tell him that I was at the nexus of the universe, because how can the same street intersect with itself?
Right.
But there was no payphone. But it was, that was 2006.
And also,
7? 6.
Adam and I, being big Turtles fans, especially the first Ninja Turtles movie, we visited the corner of 11th and Blinker. Which, if you've ever seen the first Ninja Turtles movie, that is where April O'Neil lives.
Which looks nothing like. It's in the middle of, it's in Greenwich Village.
Yeah, Greenwich Village.
And
nice.
And according to the movie.
Oh, absolutely.
That's great.
We went to the Ghostbusters Firehouse.
Ghostbusters Firehouse, 53rd and 3rd.
That at least looks like it. The exterior was shot there. So
the Ramones, 53rd and 3rd.
Yeah, but we did something else on one of the trips.
We went to... We did the Top of the Rock, which isn't like, I mean, it's just...
Well, that's not really a thing.
Yeah, it's just touristy stuff. We went to Dana's apartment.
Is that built? That building's off Central Park?
Yeah.
It's actually
That was actually by accident. I had visited it twice already. I had visited this place before, but we were staying just around the corner, and I thought, I think this is... Dana lives right down the street here. This is Dana's apartment. Mm-hmm. And the church connected to it. Sure enough, boom, there it was. And I took a picture of myself sitting on the church stairs with the doors were open, so I got to look in and everything else like that. But we just passed by it.
Here's something I have to ask you. So that... And I can't think of the name of it. That famous restaurant that he's up against the glass...
Tavern on the Green.
Yes. Is there actually...
It's right there.
Is that right there?
It's right there.
And directly across from it is there that half wall that he jumps over?
Yep, it's right there. And actually, Rick was eating at Tavern on the Green once, and he took pictures of Dana's apartment building and sent it to me.
Wow.
Like while he was sitting in Central Park at Tavern on the Green, because he knew that was the Ghostbusters building.
Yeah. Fancy.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Good times.
Yep.
Good times. Thanks for popping in, Adam.
Oh, I love the pop-in. Popped in just right now.
Love the pop-in. Speaking of Seinfeld.
Yeah, he gets one. He gets a reference.
That's not on your list. Pop-in is no. Is entry level. Pop-in's like soup Nazi level of knowledge. That's like that. Oh, I get that reference.
You have Kasim?
Listen, it's been a great time here on the Drum Key Pop-In episode with Adam from Meinl, Sean Groff. My name is Adam Steck. Thanks for joining us for this chaos.